Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million and tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
I'm one of those. I'm one of those with the 100,000 unread emails.
Yep.
We just heard a bunch of simultaneous thuds as people just fainted from the thought of it. Unread emails and also a show.
Hey everybody, I'm Kai Risnall, just flipping through my Gmail account. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we do what we can to make today make sense. Sometimes we make it,
and I'm Molly Wood. And I have questions about whether Kai only has the one Gmail account or the one that he uses for spam catching, plus the super secret one that only the friends have. Maybe that's a different show. Thanks for joining us.
I can't handle more than, I mean, I got my professional account at Marketplace and I got my Gmail account. That's the whole smash. I don't have anything else.
You gotta have a spam catcher Gmail.
Well, I guess.
That you used to sign up for everything, you know? And then you have the secret one that everybody knows about. And then you never sign up for anything with that email address. And then it stays. And then it, if you're not good at email like me, it's a way to at least try to get closer to, I saw your email. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Do you remember back when Hotmail started being a thing? And everybody was like, why do you have two email accounts or three email accounts? I'm like, I don't know. What'd you do? I signed up for a bunch. I had Yahoo. I had Hotmail. I had all those. Anyway.
I know. Now everybody has 30 in my e-byte address book is a mess. Isn't it nice that there's not so much, by the way, raining on fire, flaming arrows of news coming at us that we can just chit-chat about email for a minute?
We'll just visit a spell. We'll sit and visit a spell.
We'll just have some fellowship and a cup of tea. There's some news. We're going to talk about some news, and then we're going to make you smile, and it's all going to come together in 15 minutes or less after our 1.5 minutes of email chit-chat.
A visit.
Here we go.
That's right. Yeah. Right. So hit it. Why don't you go first?
I'm never probably going to do this because books are long and they take a long time. But should I ever write a book about big tech, it's just going to be called They Wouldn't Freaking Listen. Because here's the thing.
Yes.
Facebook now is groups. You know how we made that big shift to groups and we announced it in 2018. We had groups before, but then we were like, it's all about groups and this private messaging. And in 2019, they really rolled that out. And now they're like, you know, that strategic pivot away from content that everyone could see into smaller, more siloed groups where content could flourish and then be algorithmically recommended to people whether they wanted to see that content or not, has caused a bit of a disinformation problem that wasn't a thing before, but now it totally is. And so although we could not have seen that coming, and Sheryl Sandberg was really sure the other day when she said the U.S. Capitol siege was not primarily organized on Facebook, now they feel like maybe they should do something about that. And so this has caused every single tech disinformation researcher that I follow on Twitter, and as you might imagine, it's a fair number, to say, you have got to be kidding me. Because Renee DiResta, just as one example, who is at Stanford, the Internet Observatory, who we have on tech all the time, is like, oh, see, I wrote about this 6 years ago. I have been writing about Facebook groups for 6 years. In 2018, there was a huge article that was like, Facebook groups are being exploited to spread misinformation, plan harassment, and radicalize people. She has screenshots as far back as 2016, when that was the first time that Pizzagate groups were recommended to her on her Facebook account, and so on and so forth. And this is something that, you know, you and I have been talking about the entire Trump presidency leading up to the election, when disinformation and confusion was a huge part of that. And so the idea that anybody is going to sit here and hear from Facebook, we could not have anticipated. And in fact, an executive is quoted in this journal story as saying, if you had looked at groups several years ago, you might not have seen the same set of behaviors. This is something that Facebook is trying to tell us straight up. And at this point, it's like, look, I know that being unwilling to take in information and change your mind can sometimes be a trait that is necessary to, like, build a business that no one else believes in. In fact, it is venerated here in Silicon Valley to never take in any criticism and adjust your behavior accordingly. But it turns out that's actually just a bad way to go through life, and a super bad way to run a giant and profoundly influential social media platform. So either they have literally not been listening and have just been like, nope, you just don't like us this whole time, or it suddenly became an expedient business move to change their minds. But either way, like, don't, I believe I've said this on the show before, do not pee on my foot and tell me it's raining.
Yes,
you've been
told. Sorry, I just spit all over the microphone.
You've been told.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of amazing that somehow, with the rare exceptions such as yourself and all the other reporters who follow this, they kind of get away with it too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And which is just kind of remarkable.
And continue to make crap tons of money. And crap, I mean, I assume that the... That's a technical term. You should know that. You host a business show.
Yes.
But I would imagine the reason they think it's an expedient move now is that they're maybe feeling like they're not going to get away with it quite so much in the future. Hard to say.
Do you believe that, though? Because, look, getting rid of – dislodging that disinformation mindset from give or take – I'm making this number up, 30% of the American population, 50% of the American population is going to be remarkably difficult. And as long as that mindset continues with that, whatever fraction it is of the American mindset of American population, there is money to be made, right?
Oh, and I'm not entirely sure consumers are not going to hold Facebook to account. I think the only thing that they're anticipating at this point is the possibility, which here in the U.S. is still outsized, I'm afraid, but the possibility that regulation will catch up. And Facebook is probably looking further than the 1, 2, or 3 years down the road that we're looking at and thinking, you know, we ran the models and at some point there is going to be regulation around disinformation.
Yeah.
So we might as well lay the groundwork for that now.
Sorry, I was just thinking to myself what the vanishingly small odds that we're going to be able to figure out regulation in time to actually do anything about this problem. Well, it's already too late to do anything about the problem.
It's way too late, right? I mean, we just had a riot. Yeah. We just had an insurrection at the Capitol. Like, it is beyond too. I mean, Myanmar just tipped over into a coup.
Oh,
like,
no.
There is no universe in which you can't. And that, again, by the way, a thing that researchers have been screaming at Facebook about for years. Like, did Facebook cause the coup? No. Did Facebook contribute to the conditions on the ground in that country by continuing to not take seriously its role in public discourse? Mm-hmm.
There's a thing to be done about corporate civic responsibility. That's not a new thought of mine, but there is none right now.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Okay.
Womp womp. Next.
Yeah. Womp womp. Okay. So mine is very quick, and it's frankly kind of hopeful coming out of the news that is of the day, which is GameStop and Silver and Facebook and, you know, all this other stuff and impeachment and relief deal. From Bloomberg today, according to the Bloomberg virus tracker, vaccine tracker rather, as of Monday afternoon, 26.5 million Americans had received one or both doses of the current vaccines. That's as compared with 26.2 million people in the country who have tested positive for the virus itself. So we have more people who've gotten the shot than have tested positive for the virus. And I'm just going to choose to believe that that is a positive thing, because it is. And onward and upward from here. That's it. I just want to point that out, that we're making progress with this vaccine. That's it. That's the whole deal.
I love it.
That's it.
Also, just as a brief update, I just refreshed, and as of February 1st, the squeeze has not yet been squoze.
Oh, yeah. Explain what that means for those who might not follow this regularly.
In case you have not been following this show every day of last week, when I obsessively discussed everything related to the games, well, we both did, the GameStop Reddit situation, somebody put up a website, isthesqueezesquoze.com, which is essentially tracking whether the short investors in GameStop appear to be exiting their positions in mass numbers, aka whether they've successfully executed the squeeze in the sense that they drove the stock price up enough that it's too financially painful to remain in the short positions. However, they do note that though the squeeze has not been squoze, shorts appear to be exiting their positions, according to this website. However, there's a lot of speculation about how this is happening or whether it's really happening, but the short interest numbers we've been following all along are definitely trending down.
But you should also, just on the public service announcement on the top of that webpage, because this is actually the more interesting part.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, good point. I skipped past the part I talked about on Slack this morning. So it does appear, you know, this site appears to be operated, right, by people who are related to the Wall Street Bets Reddit group who are tracking this activity closely and promoting it. However, as of today, at least that's when I saw it, there's like a three paragraph public service announcement now at the top of this page saying essentially, listen, tourists, you're going to get in trouble, which is something we said on the show last week, which was like a lot of the people involved in this action are A, trying to make money, and B, themselves extremely like professional quality day traders. They fundamentally understand this. They saw that there was money to be made, and the kind of revolution is like a side effect and maybe just the thing that makes like fun Twitter memes and gets more people on board. But it does sound like now they are starting to get a little worried you know, they're starting to worry about real harm being done, which.
Yeah. And so that's of note, right? Because real harm can be done.
It is. Yeah, it is. So that's good. And they were like, if you don't know what this is and you don't understand it, get out.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Just don't
get out now. Get out while you still can. Charlton, get us out of here. All righty. So you went first on top. You go first on the bottom. Go.
Okay. I like this new rule.
I'm directing traffic here. Go.
I love how everybody sent us the video of the pandas in the snow, and it is indeed like an awesome make me smile, but it doesn't have any audio elements to it. You just have to go watch the video. So go watch the video. I'm sure that there will be a link on the show page and all over Twitter. And also, all day today, Monday, Chadwick was trending on Twitter, and I was too scared to click it. And then finally someone told me why, which is because, and this is actually amazing, Disney, the Walt Disney Company, has entered into a 5-year exclusive television deal with Ryan Coogler and his media group, the producer, of course, behind Black Panther, to make a television series set in Wakanda and build out the Wakanda universe. And of course, it is heartbreaking that Chadwick Boseman isn't going to be a part of it, but it's super cool. And on a tragically practical note, will build out the events that will lead us to a sequel in which he is no longer the Black Panther.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because you can't recast that role now, right? That's the deal.
In the comics, it's Suri. And the internet, I believe, said that Suri is going to be the Black Panther, you know, the younger sister in Tech Genius, which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like in the movies, I mean, you know, you can't.
But yeah, in the movies, you can't, exactly.
Yeah.
So this is awesome.
Which is kind of
This is great. We get like a whole Wakanda TV show, and it's that's, you know, it's bittersweet, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It's very cool. God, that was a good movie. Okay, mine is short and sweet, and it's not really make you smile. It's more of a, oh my God, how did I get so old? So those of you a certain age out there will remember a television show called The Wonder Years. Fred Savage playing a, you know, 8-10-year-old kid, whatever, growing up, and it was set back in 1968, right? Saw on Twitter yesterday that The Wonder Years debuted 33 years ago this week, 1988.
Oh, God.
And it was a show set in 1968, 20 years earlier. If that show debuted today, it would have been set in 2001, which to me was like yesterday. How the hell did that happen? That's it. That's what I got.
Okay, only
Fred Savage,
I'm going to sneak this in because we have
Marketplace. I'm just going to say that. Go ahead. What?
Oh, that does make me feel really old, but that's so funny because my original Make Me Smile from like 7:30 this morning, which I totally forgot about until right now, was that Dr. Martens, of the boots that were basically like the go-to wardrobe when I was a teenager, went public, had an IPO in London, and like blew up. Like it's valued at $5 billion. And they're just like, oh my gosh, Dr. Martens. I'm like, wait,
seriously?
Couldn't this have been a headline from my own adolescence? Like, this is so confusing. The offer was 8 times oversubscribed because apparently no one's produced anything new in fashion since I was 16 years old.
Look at this. 3.7 billion pounds, $5 billion. That's insane.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally old and yet still super fashionable. So that's a good feeling.
And there we go. Boom.
The end. All right, that is it for us. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to have a deep dive. I'm actually pretty excited about this on, yes, ostensibly SPACs, the blank check companies. We will talk about how they work, how they're getting tons of attention from the same type of people who will maybe invested in GameStop, and how it's all part of this kind of like disruptive fintech revolution. We will break down. In the meantime, keep the questions and the comments coming. Make me smart at marketplace.org.
Bang Zoom.
Right on time-ish.
Holy cow. Ish. Doc Martens. You know what else. Ish. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, our producer of the analog and digital variety. It's Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device, which I have to track tomorrow, Erica. Sorry.
Today's program was and is currently at this nanosecond engineered by Charlton Thorpe, Ben Holiday, and Daniel Ramirez. Composed our theme music, and the senior producer is Donna Tam, the executive director of On Demand is Attorney of Us.
Oh, it was still there.
I think they made that last note so long.
We got out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got out. Yeah. That's fine.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.